How's everybody feeling this morning?
Great.
All right. Thank you, Commander Hand, for the introduction. The positive experiences mentioned are all a result of God allowing many, many great people to invest in me and who are continuing to invest in me. And it's our experiences that bring us together today. Alaska has slightly over 73,000 veterans, which is approximately 10% of our state's total population. Nationally, fewer than 10% of the population can claim the title veteran. We're diverse in many ways, but we're here this morning because we're a veteran, a loving family member, a supportive friend, or maybe you thought there'd be some catered food here. There's not. Once upon a time, on May 13th, 1938, an act was approved, making the 11th of November in each year a legal holiday, a day to be dedicated to the cause of world peace and to be therefore celebrated and known as Armistice Day. Armistice Day was primarily a day set aside to honor veterans of World War I, but in 1954, after World War II had required the greatest mobilization of service members in our nation's history, after American forces had fought aggressively in Korea, the 83rd Congress, at the urging of veteran service organizations, amended the Act of 1938 by striking out the word armistice and inserting in its place the word veterans. With the approval of this legislation on June 1, 1954, November 11th became a day to honor American veterans of all wars and to celebrate and honor America's veterans for their patriotism, love of country, and willingness to serve and sacrifice for the common good. It is an honor to be here on behalf of the Adjutant General of the Alaska Army National Guard and Commissioner of Alaska's Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, Brigadier General Lori Hummel. Currently authorized at approximately 2,000 soldiers, the Army, Alaska Army National Guard maintains ready units and soldiers who are available to support the governor and fellow Alaskans for domestic operations while also ready to deploy worldwide in support of the national military strategy. A long time ago, in a hospital not so far away, I was born. And I was raised in Alaska with Alaskan values. Like most service members, I have family members who served before me and who are currently serving. My father, raise your hand, Dad. Where are you at? There he is. My dad, he served in the Alaska Army National Guard for 30 years. So I grew up around it. I grew up around guardsmen whose values imprinted on me. And that gratefully influenced my decision to serve one day. Values can be defined as a person's principles or standards of behavior, one's judgment of what is important in life. The positive values of veterans were needed in the past, they are needed today, and they will be needed in our future. Now, there are so many worthy veterans that we could talk about and reflect on today who demonstrated these positive values. I think of Robert Norman Ross. He enlisted in the Air Force at age 18, and he served as a medical records technician. He eventually rose to the rank of Master Sergeant and served as the first sergeant of the Air Force Clinic at Eielson Air Force Base. It was in Alaska Ross first saw the snow and the mountains, like we see this morning, that later became recurring themes in his artwork. He developed his quick painting technique to create art for sale in brief daily work breaks. You know him as Bob Ross, and his show, The Joy of Painting, can still be seen today. Ross valued calmness, contentment, and not screaming ever again after he got out of the Air Force. Is there a lot of screaming in the Air Force? A little bit? Okay. There's also Carlos Ray Norris. He joined the Air Force as an air policeman in 1958. While stationed in South Korea, Norris acquired the nickname Chuck and began his training in Tang Soo Do, an interest that led to black belts in that art and the founding of the Chuck Kuk Do Universal Way form. Norris values the 10 rules of Chung Kuk Do and roundhouse kicks, preferably to his enemies' faces. Bravely living out his values, Chuck Norris once jumped on a live grenade. The enemy who threw it blew up. As an Army veteran, you may be surprised that I started off with a couple Air Force veterans, but when I asked VFW Commander Kevin Hassan about which of the branches I should mention, he simply pointed out the fact that Chuck Norris did serve in the Air Force, to which I replied, Chuck Norris did not join the Air Force. The Air Force joined Chuck Norris. Now I will talk about some Army veterans. While many veterans' deeds go unnoticed and unwritten, the story of the four chaplains aboard the SS Dorchester has been forever captured. Each of the four were very different from each other, much as we who gather today are different from each other. George Fox was a Methodist pastor and a dedicated World War veteran, having received the Silver Star and Purple Heart. He had volunteered for World War I and did the same in World War II, having to carefully think about his duty to both family and country. Alex Good was a rabbi, known for his intellect and athleticism. Good loved to laugh. Like Fox, Good volunteered for World War II, leaving his wife and congregation for an unknown amount of time. Clark Poling was a Dutch Reformed minister, both a scholar and a poet. A married minister and a father, Poling was safe from the draft, but this did not keep him from volunteering to help his country and its soldiers. The only non-married chaplain was John Washington. He was a Catholic priest who loved baseball and may have played in the major leagues had one of his friends not accidentally shot him in the eye with a, wait for it, a BB gun, just like that Christmas Story movie we'll all be watching soon warned us about. Each of the four men received classified orders to report to Massachusetts in January of 1943. Each brought with them a value system from their own personal and theological background. Each also adopted the value system of the Army. And I'll return to the story of the four chaplains shortly. Each of our branches has core values that, when adopted, benefits the service member, their unit, their family, their friends, and their community. These values are lived 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they are values we should continue to demonstrate after we transition out of uniform. Our nation celebrates us today for our service. May they also celebrate us for what we continue to offer to those around us for the rest of our lives. I want to take a closer look at our service values and our mottos. If you're here today and you're affiliated with the Army, please raise your hand. All right. Hooah. Thank you for your service. Army values include loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. They really line it out for us so we remember, as we will forget if there's not a lot of them. So the Army motto is "This we'll defend." Please raise your hand if you're affiliated with the Navy. Okay. Thank you for your service. Navy values: honor, courage, and commitment. The Navy motto is "not for self, but for country." Dick mentioned the Marine Corps birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Marine Corps. If you're affiliated with the Marine Corps, please raise your hand. Okay. Thank you for your service. Your values are understandably the same as the Navy's: honor, courage, and commitment. But your motto's different: always faithful. Please raise your hand if you're affiliated with the Coast Guard. Okay. All right. Thank you for your service. Coast Guard values include honor, respect, and devotion to duty. The Coast Guard motto is always prepared. And finally, but not least, please raise your hand if you're affiliated with the Air Force. All right. Thank you for your service. Air Force values include integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. The Air Force motto is Chuck Norris. Aim high, fly, fight, win. Positive values are key to a successful society. In the sitcom Seinfeld, whenever George Costanza's values were stepped on, he would say, "You know, we're living in a society. We're supposed to act in a civilized way." When positive values are not followed, there are negative consequences. While painting, Bob Ross would encourage those watching by saying, "We don't make mistakes, we just make happy accidents." While true for painting, unfortunately, mistakes in values can cause personal, relational, and organizational trauma. And now, the rest of the story. Each of the four chaplains understood the similarities and differences between their theological denominations. But rather than concentrate on differences, they performed religious support by working together to determine the best way to minister to the soldiers. When they boarded the Dorchester, they sought soldiers out rather than wait in their rooms. They prayed with soldiers, helped them write letters, answered questions, set up fun events to raise morale, and conducted chapel services at just the right moments. However, on February 3rd, 1943, en route to Greenland on a top-secret mission, the Dorchester was torpedoed by a German U-boat. Because it was winter, it was cold outside the ship, but really, really warm inside. So even though the soldiers were supposed to wear their life vests at all times, not all did. Many soldiers forgot their life vests when they ran outside, and then they couldn't go back down below deck because the water level was rising inside the ship. The majority of the lifeboats were frozen into the ship and couldn't be used. Following their value system, the four chaplains decided to live out what they knew from the book of John, chapter 15, verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." They gave up their own life vests to four soldiers without them. Described by one survivor as the finest thing I have ever seen or hope to see this side of heaven, the four chaplains linked arms, prayed, and sang songs to encourage the soldiers in their last dying moments. The importance of the mission kept their convoy from helping them. The importance of radio silence delayed timely rescue. The four chaplains all drowned to death. While none of us likely look forward to dying, William Wallace said, "Every man dies, not every man really lives." The powerful testimony from the Dorchester survivors shows the power our lives and values have in the eyes of others, and that it is better to die living out our values than to live a full life devoid of them. The four chaplains didn't agree on everything. When I read the news today, the citizens of our country don't agree on everything. From reading your Facebook posts, I can tell that not all of you agree on everything. But our shared veteran experience and values uniquely allow us to acknowledge our differences, unite together, and then find solutions. We don't have to look far to see real issues needing cooperation and solutions in Juneau. Drug and substance abuse and addiction, attempted and successful suicide, relationship stress and divorce, hunger, homelessness, the list continues. These are all issues we have an opinion on, a political view on, and a religious stance on. I encourage all of us to look to our shared experiences as veterans and our shared values, which allow us to rise above our differences, join together to work with people we disagree on, possibly people we don't like, in order to take care of veterans and the citizens of Juneau. With declining state revenue and often declining nonprofit organizational membership, it benefits everyone when we find ways to work together. We are stronger and more effective together. Kipling's Law of the Jungle from the Jungle Book put it this way: For the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack. As a veteran community, I thank you for continuing to make Juneau and Alaska great. We may always have enemies to our way of life in America and our great state of Alaska, but we have Chuck Norris. And we will pass our value system on to our children who will rise up and defend us in the future. Thank you. Take care. God bless you.